wrote a piece for Sky Intel in 2009 asking what's wrong with the sun. The sun entered its minimum at that time. That's a period of time with no sunspots. And that happens, has been going on now for like the last 300-400 years. Every 11 years, it cycles between no sunspots and a great deal of sunspots. And satellite data over the last few decades has shown that the sun, when it has no sunspots, cools slightly, dims slightly, produces less energy, just slightly. Now, this extended minimum that had been going on struck me as possibly a preliminary to something called the another Maunder minimum. Back shortly after Galileo in the 1600s, for about 70 years, there were literally no sunspots, a very long period of no sunspots at all. That period of time corresponded to something called the Little Ice Age, when there were actually years where there was there were several years they considered having no summers. There were crop failures, famine, because they didn't have enough heat to grow crops during the winter months, summer months, I'm sorry. So that's a circumstantial connection between no sunspots, a dimmer sun, and cold weather. And for the last few years, unexpectedly, the scientists had not expected this, the sun went into a very long extended minimum. And then as it started to ramp up in the last year or so towards its next maximum, it did not ramp up with a lot of sunspots as expected. It seemed to be showing a great deal of evidence that this next maximum will be the weakest in 200 years, George. And the last time that happened, 200 years ago, they called it Dalton Minimum, around 1810, 1815. It was a period of time, once again, where you had cold weather.
That's right.
Failed crops and unusually cold worldwide weather.
What did the Mayans know, Robert? What did the Mayans know?
I haven't the faintest idea what the Mayans know, and I won't even speculate. but I will say what scientists do know, what we do know and what we don't know. And what we don't know is whether or not during a long Maunder minimum, a long period of time, this is what the scientists think might be happening now after this next maximum in about another year or two. It'll be a very weak maximum. But it's very possible that there will not be another maximum for a long time thereafter, based upon the data that's coming in. The sun is not producing enough magnetic field energy to produce sunspots, and those numbers keep going down. And if you extrapolate them out by 2022, it'll not be able to produce sunspots. There's other indications having to do with magnetic flows, both in the interior of the sun as well as in the corona, that are just not producing enough energy to produce a large maximum or even any maximum at all, any sunspots at all in the next decade or so. Now, what's important about this, George, is that the solar cycle, the sun shows a slight dimming with each minimum. But that dimming has never been enough to change the climate of the Earth significantly. That's what all the satellite data tells every climate scientist. So generally, most global climate scientists, when they calculate how they think the climate's going to change with carbon dioxide and other factors, they don't count the sun's variability as very important. But we have no data on what happens to the sun during a long extended minimum. We really don't know. We only have circumstantial evidence that a little ice age occurred at that time, and we get cold weather during those long extended minimums. The Thames River, for example, froze over during that period, during the Maunder minimum. It never does that. So if we are about to enter another long extended minimum, we will find out unequivocally whether or not the sun actually dims more than during a normal solar cycle. And should it do so, we shouldn't be worrying about global warming, because it could very well easily overpower any of the theories about global warming and actually bring about extremely cold temperatures. And once again, with cold temperatures, you have difficulty growing crops. The areas where we normally expect to have a good summer, where you can grow wheat and corn and all the things we eat, might not have the ability to do that if it gets cold enough.
Robert, let me ask you, too, about a major concern, and that is the possibility, even with a relatively inactive sun, of an X-flare, a coronal mass ejection that hits us directly.
George, those happen all the time, and they have been a concern in the past for the power grid. We are very dependent upon electronics in our society, modern society today. Back in 89, a very strong flare from the sun, coronal mass ejection, produced a blackout in Quebec and much of Canada. That was during the maximum that took place around 1989-90. The next maximum around 2000 was also somewhat powerful. Didn't have any of that those problems because partly because the electrical power industry has recognized the issue and has done a great deal to protect themselves from this problem. And we got satellites up in orbit which tell them when something might be coming. Any large flare that might come down the road could cause some problem. But the truth of the matter is we are facing down the road very weak maximums. The likelihood of a very large flare is significantly reduced. That isn't the problem we're facing right now. I would tell you this, that if we do not replace several one satellite in particular that gives us some preliminary warning of the arrival of a flare. This is the ACE satellite. If we don't replace that soon, it will make it more difficult for the power companies to protect us. They will have to be a little bit more conservative to protect their grids, and that will cost us a little more money. But I don't find the threat of solar flares or coronal mass ejections to be the real worry right now. I think that the trends of the sun right now suggest very strongly that we should be much more concerned about a dimming of the sun and a cooling of the climate.
And is that a real concern? I mean, if we're not ready, let's say, with, as we heat primarily in this country, natural gas, if we have shortages with that, for example, that could be a problem. Or what happens if in Buffalo, New York, they get one of their major 8 to 10 foot snowfalls where these roofs of houses start to collapse?
I don't look at it. To me, the danger isn't what would happen in the wintertime, where you get a lot of more snow and it's colder for a longer period of time. That's bad. It'll make it very difficult for people. I worry about shorter summers, period, less crop, season for growing crops. Then you have a much more significant problem.